I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool. Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiler Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod. I'm joined today by a couple people to discuss a movie that is near and dear to my heart. Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. First of all, we have Karen from Lip Smacking Good and co-host of the Blackout Tips Podcast. What's going on, Karen?
How y'all doing out there?
Oh, doing great. And I'm glad that you could join us to discuss this wonderful movie. We also have a man that is renowned for his hatred throughout the internet. Whether it's other comedians, the movie industry, or loving the things that everyone else hates, like The Counselor. It's J.L. Covan.
Yes, and it was on HBO last night, and I taped it.
Oh, no. So you're the guy. You can find J.L. Covan's work at the Righteous Prick Podcast. And like I said, on Twitter, at J.L. Covan, if you would like to call him out for some of his jokes and maybe question his racial heritage. Do that stuff there.
Oh, by the way, big thank you to your fan base, because this week I was added to 24 playlists after my appearance on your show.
Hey, so, man, that's all you, man. You knocked that show out of the park. And mm-hmm. then,
but it's also you cultivating a great fan base and putting out a great show. So,
well,
that helps.
I'll take the compliment.
Yeah, they'll come find you. Yes, they will. So yeah. I'm glad that our audience loves you, too. So.
Here's my secret favorite part of JL getting more people from us. The people that like will hate the next show. You know what I mean?
Because yes.
You're not like, if you like two out of every three JL shows because you agree with them, then you know what I mean? That's a good ratio. Because
yes,
he's going to say some shit where you're like, what the fuck? Like, why is Obama overrated or some shit? You're just like, oh, we got to talk about this? So yeah, I can't wait for the,
I like farmers markets, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah. I can't wait for this shit. So I'll be definitely tuning in to see the feedback for the next few weeks. But, you can find him also at jlcovan.com and, like I said, Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. The movie we're here to discuss on Spoiled Movie Reviews, where we do two things. One, we rate everything by the More Epic Than Love Jones scale from 0 to 5, 0 being man, fuck you, and 5 being the fuck you waiting for to go see this shit. And we also just spoil shit, okay? It's for people who've seen the movie, never saw the movie, or just don't give a fuck, because we spoil everything. And in this movie, I guess the biggest spoiler is that Optimus Prime leaves the Earth.
Yes, he does.
So he decides, fuck y'all. Handle your shit on your own. All right, Transformers 4 Age of Extinction is a movie about... Oh, my God. So ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
An automobile mechanic / inventor and his creepily hot 17-year-old daughter, who make a discovery that brings down the Autobots and a paranoid government official on them. It is, of course, Mark Wahlberg stars in it. Stanley Tucci needed a check. Kelsey Grammer was in need of some money. And then a bunch of newcomers. And my man Titus Williver, who's one of the better, he's one of the better, like, what do you call those guys that aren't the number one actors?
Character actors?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite character actors, man. He only plays the same, like, middle-aged, fed-up white dude and everything. And I just like him being around. But anyway, he's in it, and then a bunch of racial stereotypes. Let's start. We like to keep it very simple here. We talk about what worked, what did not work, and then we give it our rating. I think I'll start with what did not work, and we'll just go around and then we'll talk about what worked. All right, so Karen, what did not work for you for Transformers 4 Age of Extinction?
One thing that did not work for me, even though I love all the movies, it was too long.
Yes, this movie is 165 minutes on IMDb, but in reality It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes in real life. And that's not counting the trailers.
No, that's not.
We went to the 8:40 show and we got out at 7 like in the morning.
Midnight, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still in the movie theater. And I saw it like 4 days ago.
Yeah. McDonald's was serving breakfast when we got out. Because it really is a long fucking movie, like needlessly so. So Karen, the length didn't work for you. JL, give me something that didn't work for you.
Wow. So just one thing?
Yeah, we'll go around until you run out.
Obviously, the length was a huge problem because it honestly felt like 4 hours I was in the movie theater. For me, what didn't work is I found the script horrific, both from a plot point, from trying to like cram it, like I was like, what is going on here exactly? Like, what are they trying to? What are they just trying to introduce new characters and new situation? Like, what is the plot really? And the dialogue is atrocious.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, mm-hmm. I love how the seed is just a bomb. Like, they do all this shit for the seed, which is supposed to like progress technology into this new era for humanity where we like, you know, are like, the whole question is like, is your civilization really ready to handle the seed, the thing that will fuel the American armies to do all? And then you get in and it's just basically like a big chase of who's gonna like get this bomb before it explodes. For the entire fucking rest of the movie,
mm-hmm.
Which it made no sense really. All right, let me see something that didn't work for me. All the like pervy footage of Nicola Peltz, Tessa Yeager, who's in the movie, they portray her kind of like as the young like sassy daughter of Mark Wahlberg, who's like the protagonist, whose wife died. Of course, he's a widower. In other movies, it was kind of like, oh, it's these young kids in love and they're like, and she's the hot chick that every guy wants in high school. And this was more like watching Kelly Bundy, mm-hmm. where you feel right. bad for her father almost, like, oh man, this is uncomfortable. She's been fucking in the house. And like the jokes were all like, she's been getting fucked, man. Like, that dude's been railing your daughter all the time and you just have to deal with it. So, that was kind of weird because, you know, Michael Bay is going to do his pervy shit. Like, you can't help it. But this is that,
yeah.
the time where someone's age was like, so it felt inappropriate almost.
And they had a shot where her shorts was so short that you could see the outline of the pocket, like her shorts went up so high. I was like, why does it look like there you got some pennies in your pocket? Like the, literally, you know how you have the sew-in from the pocket? It was dipped lower than the pants. I was like, that's not good.
All right, Karen, anything else that didn't work for you?
I never heard Grimlock say, me Grimlock.
Oh yeah, they bastardized the voices of the Transformers. Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad too, because yeah, Grimlock, I mean, we've known for what, 3 movies now that he doesn't really care about the Transformers. I think Ludacris voiced Jazz. And that's the only time I've rooted for a Transformer to be killed, where I was like, yeah, just kill that motherfucker because I can't stand his voice compared to the original voice of Jazz. JL, what about you, man? Something else that didn't work?
Situational consistency. And by that, I mean both in editing. There were moments where I'm watching the movie and I'm not one of these people that looks at a movie like, from a film student's perspective, like, oh, the editing, that was inconsistent. He was standing over there, and then he was running this way. But I noticed a few times where I was like, wait a second, weren't they just over there? And now they're like, they got away from the thing, and they're like 50 yards ahead of it in a matter of a second.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really bugs me is I'm all for, because I, on the record, love Transformers 1, mm-hmm. own the Blu-ray, love it. Hated everyone after it, and I think this one annoyed me the most. But it's the idea of, I know Michael Bay's got to put his like little witty, shitty jokes in the movie, you know, to lighten up the mood, like a lot of one-liners, a lot of 80s kind of action one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
But man, when his daughter got kidnapped by an alien spaceship and he's like still arguing with her boyfriend while they're trying to rescue her, like, hey man, don't talk about that. That's my daughter. That's my baby girl. And like, you're supposed to laugh and be like, look yes. at these guys having, and it's like, motherfucker, your daughter is in an alien spaceship. Like, this should be just, I know it's, it may sound nitpicky considering that I really hated just about everything in the movie, but it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, come on, just put it, it's a 5-hour movie. Put a pause on the comedy button while you're trying to rescue your daughter from a fucking spaceship.
Yeah, first of all, that is 100% accurate. The comedy was terrible. And Mark Wahlberg is actually somebody who I've seen do a good job with comedy before, but it's like he couldn't decide if he was going to be the, it's like, you know what it was? It's like he was the straight man in the comedy, and there was no comedian there to bounce off of. It was, you know what I mean? You need, like he, I like, and I don't know how, I've never talked to JL about this, but I like the other guys.
I love the other guys.
Okay, yeah, and it's, it works, though, because he's good at playing the straight man, and Will Ferrell is good at being the, you know, the guy who he's constantly like, God, I fucking hate you. And this kid, whoever the fuck this kid is, this Gap model dude.
Who just showed up, like, I felt like it was just such a random insertion of a character.
Yes. In the cornfield, was just showing up, stalking the house.
I thought he was a, I thought he was a Transformer. Like, when he first showed up, in that car, you can't see who's in it.
So, yeah.
I was like, oh.
I definitely thought, and even made, he even made a comment. He was like, wow, I've never driven like this before.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I was like, is it a Transformer? Or this motherfucking professional driver is amazed at how well he's driving right now. It was weird. It was like, what?
Yes. That was so great. Yeah, he's, that kid's terrible at acting. He's there because he's hot. Like, honestly.
Right.
For, like, the tweens to be like, oh, look at this dude. But, yeah.
And if I can be honest, I didn't think, you know, speaking objectively, I wasn't like, looking at the guy going, well, I know why they put him in. He's so handsome that he had to get a movie role. I was just like, nah, he looks kind of run of the mill, like, you know, like in the Ryan Phillippe level of good looking.
Yeah. He could have been on,
not
like,
a good actor. So why do we have him in this movie? Yeah,
he could have been on like any CW show and it would not have missed a beat. It would just been like, oh, okay. So that dude's terrible, and all the banter between him and Mark Wahlberg is all terrible. Like, there's they try it 4 or 5 times. Like, it's not like they go, all right, we went to the well of I'm fucking your daughter. It, like, they go back, they're like, no, this, people are cracking up with this one. Let's go back and revisit this, cause it'll keep getting in my theater, people were laughing cause it was such bad dialogue.
Right.
More miscast, by the way, than Mark Wahlberg as a scientist inventor from Texas? It's like, what's with the Massachusetts accent and the general stupidity coming out of your mouth?
That was my next thing. That was my,
oh, I'm sorry.
Thing. No, it's fine. We're having a conversation. I like this. That was it. He is so miscast. And it's such an impossible white man trope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only thing missing was they didn't have a moment where they're like, oh, looking into this cave guy, it looks like he has some sort of military background. Like, that's the only thing that was missing.
I was waiting for that. That's exactly. This guy's no ordinary inventor. Navy SEAL. Navy SEAL, Special Forces, 2 tours in Iraq, 5 tours in Vietnam, invented the atomic bomb. This is no ordinary inventor in Texas.
Right. But, Mark Wahlberg, super pumped up diesel dude, looking at, like, computer code and shit was so awkward. I was like, there's no fucking way anyone who looks like this knows any of this shit. And I loved it. So since JL brought that up, I'll change mine to Stanley Tucci getting that check, man. What? Man, I was like, when he showed up, I started giggling because I was like, oh my God, you're way too good to be in this film. And in this role, especially, he played like a guy that was like a rip on Steve Jobs, in my opinion. Like,
very definitely. The photos completed it, like in The Office, that were very like parodies of Steve Jobs.
What a douchey thing to do. Because you know, during the filming of this, it had to start like kind of after Jobs died. So, like, you know, like my man Michael Bay is like, man, fuck Steve Jobs. We got these jokes, man. Like, we got to get these posthumous jokes off on one of the greatest inventors of our lifetime.
And what was tripping me out, he was like, the past, da-da-ding, the future.
Yeah.
The past. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Here's the thing. There's a transition in this film where Stanley Tucci goes from like Scooby-Doo villain to just one of the Scooby-Doo gang.
Yes.
And it's so good. Like, he buys into it completely and was saying and doing the dumbest shit. He can't live this down. You know what I mean? Like, this will not be shown on his reel when he gets a Lifetime Achievement Award.
They won't bring this one up.
No, because there's shit in, like, the ad-libs in certain scenes where he's just, like, saying dumb shit. Or he's like, I think I'm in love with you. I love you! And shit like that in the middle of a fight. And you're just like, oh, my God, this dude is so ridiculous. So, yeah, Stanley Tucci getting that check, man. He's gonna get paid because this movie's making a ton of money, by the way. But
I don't know why he would do. My joke was that, you know, they could now that the movie's been a huge hit, they can release his family from captivity. Because I'm looking at him going, you're in the Hunger Games. You do a good job in the Hunger Games, and the Hunger Games are a good franchise. So why do you need to add another? Like, he's like a real actor. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have to, and he shouldn't have, like, a lot of blockbuster franchises on his resume. It just isn't a good look.
Yep.
And he's not starving for work. He's a respected good actor now.
Well,
was just weird that he did this to me.
Looking at his resume on IMDb, this makes so much sense for him, because I didn't realize this dude's been in everything, and a lot of these are just, like, middling failed blockbusters. Like, it seems like he tries to get in every summer movie, just about. Like, he's in Captain America the First Avenger, the first one, the not good one. He's in the Hunger Games, of course, but he's also in Jack the Giant Slayer, Percy Jackson. Like, he was swinging for the fences. Like, one of these is gonna take off and be.
Oh, wait, you know what you need to look up? This might be an Eddie Murphy situation. Check if he has any young kids or, like, 10-year-old kids. Because he might have done the thing, like, my acting thespian era is over. Now I want to make some movies that my kids will enjoy.
Yes.
That might I'm just wondering, because he's like a real actor. Like, if you talk to, like, an acting teacher, they'll be like, oh, love Stanley Tucci's work.
Oh, my God. Stanley Tucci talks about losing his wife, keeping children safe. His love of food. Yeah.
I'm a goddamn genius.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, you are.
Jesus Christ.
Because The Rock did the same thing, too.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is, dog. He's like, hey, man, I'm not doing any more of these fucking, compelling, gripping dramas and shit. It's time to get into these kids' movies. Plus, they're making a lot of movie, man.
A lot of money, too.
Yeah, a lot of money. My bad. So, Karen, was there something else you didn't like about the movie?
Yes, I wanted to know, how did a superior species from another planet that made, like, Optimus Prime and everybody, you know, and made them individuals, how did they know about multi-races?
What do you mean?
Because we had a Korean Transformer. We had, how did they know, you know, we had Jazz, they was black. When it was Boston, like, I don't understand how somebody from a superior race know any. Wouldn't they all look generic and the same? Or am I the only one that didn't understand this concept?
Well, they all have different personalities and adopt different, like, you know, designs and stuff. But you're absolutely right. How is there a Ken Watanabe Transformer? You know what I mean?
Like, that knows how to use a Zanpai toe. I'm confused.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, Karen. They do. Their Transformers do seem to be quite racially diverse for people that had no idea what races was until they landed here, right?
Can we agree that Michael Bay has not spoken to a black person since 1989?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Because they sound like something out of, like, a Kool Moe Dee video.
Yes, they do.
It's very 80s, like, hey, man, what you doing up in here? Hey, that, like, I mean, the worst of all time was in Transformers 2 with the two robots, one of whom said, man, we can't read.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, and I'm one of those people, I see racism everywhere, but I also don't agree with everyone who claims they see racism everywhere.
Right.
That was one of those cases where I was like, come on, okay, you know what? You can protest this movie. It's okay. That is ridiculous. Those two robots in Transformers 2. And then the little robot they have in this one, I guess, was taking over most of the jive.
Mm-hmm.
The jive talking.
Yeah, he was in the third one, too.
Right.
Doing his jive stick. But yeah, the Transformer 2 bots was the all time high of like gray racism, where you just turn to someone like, dude, if you can't see this as racist,
right?
How can we stay friends? This is, they have gold teeth.
Right.
Oh my God. It was like, it was the most, and Michael Bay's black non-human black characters always end around 1989. Like, they haven't evolved from, they don't even use the slang, at least from like the 2000s.
No, they don't say turned up. They're not cool at all.
Yeah. But yeah, I was, very, kind of, I was actually a little let down by the lack of black racism in this movie, which is one of the things that didn't work for me. Cause I look forward, these movies represent America to me, and I look forward to misogyny, racism, homophobia, all that shit. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst decision of the decisions you could make with this scene. Let's make it homophobic as well, you know? And they kind of let me down. This is a little too open-minded for me when it came to the black stereotypes. Although they did have a fat black woman realtor that was sassy at the beginning,
and they called her the purple people eater.
Yeah, but my man Mark Wahlberg was like on his Clive and Bundy, because he was 100% in the wrong. Like, it really made no sense that he would not.
Hey guys, get off my property or I'm gonna kill you.
I'm a country man. I was listening to country and western in my truck, remember?
Ignore my Boston accent and my muscles that I work out apparently from inventing things in a barn. I also do P90X and CrossFit.
Along with yoga on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Between raising my daughter with no mother, okay? I just need a woman to fall in love with. Here's a clip, by the way, of the Skids and Mudflap. It's only 45 seconds.
This is kidnapping. Enough is...
Yo, lay out!
This thing's gonna give me a heart attack, I swear.
That's cause you're the worst.
You're gonna force me into that car, right? So...
Well, I think he's scared.
Hey, Mudflap, what are we gonna do with this shrimp taco?
Just bump a cop in his ass, throw him in the truck, and then nobody gonna know nothing, not me.
Not my trunk.
Yo, bump a car. I'm hearing you, okay? I'm right here, and I can hear you. No one's popping any caps in any asses, okay? I've had a hell of a day.
Why don't you... That's right. They were going to pop caps in one of the characters' asses. Okay, guys?
That's still old school.
JL, give me another thing that didn't work for you for Transformers 4.
Another thing that didn't work for me. Well, here's something that I've been telling people that's, you know, because I'm pulling out all the stops to get people to not see this, mm-hmm. if I can. And everybody wants to know about the Dinobots.
Yes.
And I remember I had the Tyrannosaurus Rex kind of Dinobot Transformer mm-hmm. when I was a kid. And they don't show up till the end. And they're really just like, I think they were put in the movie for the purposes of having them in the trailer mm-hmm. to be like, look at this. Now we're taking it to the next level. We got Mark Wahlberg and yep. the Dinobots. But then they show up and they're just basically... It's like the equivalent of being excited about the horse that Caesar is riding yes. in the Planet of the Apes preview.
Yes.
It'd be like going, oh man, this movie has horses. Nobody's going to do that. And that's how it felt with the Dinobots. Like, they just show up towards the end and they're just there to basically kind of escort Optimus Prime. And they do a little damage, but it was just, you know, so even yeah. like the cool new thing, the two things that were added to the franchise that made me think, hey, maybe this one will be different. Maybe they're going to put a little extra effort because they realized 2 and 3 sucked. So now they want to kind of get people interested again. Wahlberg was added. That's an upgrade from Shia LaBeouf, except
yes.
I think he was worse. If we're just judging them based on their Transformers performances, mm-hmm. I think Wahlberg was more miscast and more terrible than Shia LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. And then you add the Dinobots where you're like, oh, sweet. And then you're like, that's it. I waited because I was out. Right. I was like mentally tapped out by the time they showed up because it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes in. And I, you know, I'm somebody that never checks their phone in the theater.
Yeah.
And I always like start doing like, if I see somebody texting near me, I'm like, sir, sir, put that shit. It's distracting me. Respect the movie.
Yeah.
There was a dude in front of me texting and I said, fuck it. And I took out my phone and started texting.
You're
this is terrible. I can't do this.
You are every, cause like I will live tweet a movie in the theater in the front row, by the way. And I normally do it in an empty theater cause it'll be like a 2 o'clock showing on a Tuesday and it's just me and like an old person in there. But you're every live texter, tweeter person's worst nightmare in a movie theater, because I guarantee you they've getting hit with that. or whatever, and they want to turn around and be like, man, why don't you shut the fuck up? And then it's like, oh, you're 6'7".
It's like that video, the Killing Me Softly video with the Fugees,
yeah,
where like they turn around and then it's some dude from the Buffalo Bills standing up.
Right.
But my thing is, I've live tweeted, I think, like 3 movies in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the best one I did was Good Deeds, the Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, my
but
God.
What I did was I sat in the back row, like corner seat.
Yeah, I thought about doing that.
And there were only like, you know, 15 people in the whole theater because Tyler Perry's terrible.
It is. I thought about doing that. What I've done is I've lowered the light on my phone so that people can't really see it. And then I lower it down into the seat. Look, this is my techniques. Don't worry about it, guys. Anyway, I'm also a pretty fat person, so no one's going to step
in. So you, like, block a lot of the light. Well, you know, a lot of people just had a phone on the brightest setting and be like, right, I'm tweeting.
But I actually have a clip of Wahlberg and the boyfriend and when they're trying to infiltrate the facility for the technology that they're stealing from the Transformers, and they get to the gate, the security gate, and of course hilarity ensues, or so we're led to believe as audience.
Goddamn. At a time like this, the idea is to keep cool, not look cool, so why don't you lose the glasses? About a month ago, middle of the night, I thought I heard noises in my house. Is that you?
What? Come on, no way.
Don't lie to me, kid. You see that guy with the gun out there?
There's so many guys with guns.
Let's get out of the car and tell them we're about to break in and that's your idea, because I don't care. I'm old. I've already lived long enough.
You have a really bad habit of having these conversations at the wrong time, man.
You want to come clean, or you want me to make a mess? Sir, can I talk to you for a second, please?
It was me. I'm sorry.
I'm literally going to kill you.
That's the
that's exactly what happened in our theater.
That's some of the comedic banter that you will become accustomed to for 2 hours and 40 minutes of Transformers. It goes on forever and shit like that's terrible. I don't like the out of character stuff people do. Like, they try to infiltrate this facility and then like Bumblebee transforms into his like from a car into like his robot self because he's so pissed off that they would make a copy of him and make it evil and claim, and there's all these videos of like it's better than Bumblebee, it's the best ever, and so he loses his cool in a espionage, you know, like they're trying to secretly infiltrate this place, knocks down the display robot and like does all this shit and then transforms back and it gets blamed on the kid. And like, you're supposed to be laughing, but at that moment in the movie, it's such a serious moment where it's like, oh, if you motherfuckers get caught, they're going to like kill you. And then,
right. And then
it's just like, isn't this funny, guys? You can't take that they're talking about them. It's like, it's so amazingly, such amazing bad writing. Karen, anything else that didn't work?
Yeah, and maybe this is just nitpicking.
Yeah, no, go
ahead. At the end, when Optimus Prime and everything is like settled,
yeah,
how he let them nigga Grimlock and them niggas free? I was like, y'all can just go. I was like, go fucking where? Where can something that fucking big hide where nobody on like a satellite or anything gonna be able just to find out? Because they didn't fly away with them, so where the hell did they go?
It already looked stupid as shit when they were doing this huge catastrophic fight in China, and the big ass Grimlock and all those guys were walking alongside the cars like during the fight. It was just like, I laughed like audibly because it's just like they're so out of place, you know, like
right. These
big ass dinosaurs, and then at the end he's like, you're free, and you're like, to do what?
That was my question. To go where? Hide in the ocean? Where are you going to go?
Yeah, and they just run off like kids, like, yay, we're free, bye guys. We're just going to go out and kill shit. JL, anything else that didn't work for you?
One other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to, you know, be specific, is that I don't know if it was hour 4 or 5 of the movie when this was announced. that now, keep in mind, this is a movie about robots from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And I still rolled my eyes when it was like, it's really Megatron who's been controlling the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, it is? Well, that seems ridiculous. I was just like, I mean, I guess you had to tie it back into him, but come on. Like, that, no. I was just like, no, 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 no. Because now you've turned your villain into, like, a bad horror movie villain, mm-hmm. where no matter how impossible or ridiculous, it's just like, yeah, it was him the whole time. He's back.
Yeah.
And you're like, he is? How's he back again?
And the thing is, this was the plot to, like, I want to say two, where they thought, like, oh, we're going to get technology by taking the dead Megatron, and or maybe it was even one. We're going to, like, throw him out and, like, use this stuff to build things. And then everything they made turned out to be evil.
Right.
Like, it even started zapping shit. There was, like, oh, is that the Mountain Dew?
Didn't they,
Is that the Mountain Dew machine? And then the Mountain Dew machine immediately became evil. And it's like,
right.
So then here's a, I'm not a scientist. Let's not hook anything back up to Megatron. You know, like, Megatron gets destroyed. Let's leave the USB plugs alone and just like, we'll slowly work at our pace of technology. Cause this shit apparently is killing people.
Yeah, because didn't in that one, everything just started randomly attacking people, yeah, and shit?
It was like Maximum Overdrive, but yeah, with, like, everything trying to kill you, you know? So, yeah, that was a horrible decision for them to even attempt that. I'll tell you something that didn't work for me, man. All of the scenes involving humans being around huge robot fights, I could care less about those fucking people. Like, I wanted to see the, cause they would have, like, cool ass robot, like, I will give them credit. As opposed to Godzilla, they didn't cut, yeah, I know you like it. I hate that movie. They didn't cut away from the action. Like, the reason I could tolerate this more than Godzilla is there's actual action when they tell you it's gonna be action. So, when Lockdown is beating the shit out of Optimus Prime, which he continues to be the guy who gets the shit beat out of him in all these movies, when he's getting the shit beat out of him, they don't go, and now let's go talk about something that's happening 20 minutes away. It's like, oh, and then she tries to hide in the car, and you're like, oh, you're gonna fucking get crushed down there in that car. You know, like, and the fight is taking place, but I don't care about the humans, is what I'm saying. They're not good actors, they don't have compelling motivations, there's no reason to wish they live. It's just a slow motion shot of, like, that's my daughter. No. And you're like, I don't give a fuck about you, Marky Mark. Let's get back to some big ass robot fights. So, all right. If before we move to the next segment, which is everything that did work, if there's anything to add, you guys, go ahead and do it now.
And something else that I wanted to add, which is probably irrelevant. And I know it's just a Michael Bay thing.
Yeah.
How can somebody hire aliens to do a job for him, work for the FBI, the president send his personnel to take notes, who takes terrible ass notes, turn around and gets mad at you, and nobody goes to jail? There's no internal investigation. Nobody's saying we caught the culprit. Yeah. Nobody's blaming nobody. Everybody's like, you know what? We killed this dude, and this dude, you know what? I gave Mikey Marking him a job. What?
Yeah, Stanley Tucci's character, Joshua Joyce, he's just a good guy at the end. Like, that's it. Like, there's no one goes, didn't you have a secret clandestine, contract with, the government, to, like, you know, help these motherfuckers? Like, aren't you the reason that half of China got destroyed? Yeah, we want to talk to you. Everybody's just like, it's Stanley Tucci! And they hug and shit, and then it's like, the end. Bye, Optimus Prime! Everybody waves bye, and he flies off.
Yeah,
right, like, if iPods destroyed half of China, they wouldn't be like, yeah! Love Steve Jobs!
Hey, it's our boy! And it's before, and this is after it's destroyed another city in America.
Yes.
And been responsible for, like, you know, all this destruction of small towns and shit in the earlier part of the movie, you know, including that house being blown up and shit. And instead, at the end, it's just like, you know what, guys? I'll buy you a new house. Don't worry about it. And everybody's like, see? And this is why you're a good guy.
And that's the end of it.
I love Michael Bay.
And the thing about it, Michael Bay gives not two rat shit about reality, because I've been watching all the Transformers, now one time has it ever said anything about Optimus Prime growing goddamn wings, and all of a sudden he just flies off. I was like, what the fuck, why are you flying now?
Yeah.
I am going to outer space for the next four films.
Yes.
I'll be back when we need human actors. I did not like TJ Miller in this movie. He just didn't have anything to work with, man.
Like, which dude was that?
He's a surfer dude.
Oh yeah, he was pointless.
Yeah, he's a comedian. It's not that he's not funny. The material's just so fucking stupid.
It was bad.
You know what? Think back now, because he was in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to watch that movie again, knowing how bad the humor was gonna get,
yeah,
you'd be like, man, thank God TJ Miller was killing it in the beginning of this movie. That's what it feels like in hindsight, because in hindsight, I'm like, TJ Miller is pretty funny for this movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, you know, you said you liked the first movie, right?
Yes.
The reason that the first movie works is, one, it's a kid in his car story, essentially. It's not really even a Transformer story. But then, two, the comedic actors that he hires are funny.
Yes, and they were good.
Yeah, Bernie Mac does basically 10 minutes about used cars and being a hustler, but you're laughing because Bernie Mac was funny. You know what I mean? Like,
Bernie Mac was good. John Turturro was good.
Yes.
And the parents, the problem I had was I thought they went to the parent well in the second movie.
And the third.
Too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas in the first one, I kind of liked how he was like, I know everybody, it's popular to shit on Shia LaBeouf.
But no, he killed that first movie. And
the
it's
first
not
movie, he was more than adequate.
Yes.
He was him and his interactions with his parents were great.
Yep.
His interactions with Fox, Megan Fox were good. Yep. Like, people love to shit on him, and I get it. But, like, there was no problem from him in Transformers 1 at all.
Agree. Mm-hmm. He completely killed it.
I agree.
He made, like, I was actually surprised when the movie ended, and I went and looked up his IMDb to find out he was not high school age, because he killed that role of high school senior over his head, transitionatory like period of life. He nailed it. And then I went and looked it up. I was like, damn, this dude's almost 30. Wow. Okay. Good for you, buddy. But, this movie though, every comedic actor either has nothing to work with or they're in for so short that it doesn't matter. Cause, they also have my homie from, what the fuck is he in? He was in Reno 911. What is that dude's name? Anyway, I think it's a dude that wears a short shorts. And he was like the liaison for the president or something like that. And he's barely in it.
Oh, fuck, what's his name? He was in like I Love You Man.
Yeah.
He's
a pretty funny dude.
Yes, and the movie was but the movie also was so big and bloated that like, in a 2-hour and 45-minute movie, like, you'll forget about 60 seconds of comic relief.
Yes. it feels like he's not in the movie at all. And he's probably in there for, I don't know, 6 minutes. But, it's so long that he might as well have been like, I'm not doing this shit. So,
and I think Kelsey Grammer was in this just to get people not asking as many questions when he shows up in The Expendables 3. Frasier didn't do any action movies. Oh, wait, he was in Transformers. Okay.
Yeah, on the low, he's about to have a big-ass year because he's in Expendables 3.
Oh, the Martin Lawrence. I think the show with him and Martin Lawrence as lawyers is going to be good.
Oh, I haven't seen the preview for that, but I'm in.
That's big talent. That's big talent for a TV show.
Yeah, I'm in, regardless. Yeah. But he was in Days of Future Past. He's got a cameo. It's a very small role, but it counts. So he'll be in this, he'll be in Transformers, Days of Future Past, Expendables 3, all in a year. This is going to be a pretty big year for him at the box office, man. Like, we might see even bigger things for him in the future, but all right, let's talk about, and last thing that didn't work, the racism against the Asian people was just, oh my God.
Magnifique.
Bing Bing Lee, who plays Su Yuming, which is, Stanley Tucci's like a Asian counterpart, like
slash love interest.
Yeah. Slash what, like just completely undeserved love interest. That she is, the stuff that happens with her is so racist. There's an Asian dude who randomly knows Kung Fu right when they need to know. Like, they just need someone to know kung fu to complete this action scene, and dude knows kung fu because he's Asian, guys. Get it?
That was might as well happen to then her with the bike arguing with the dude, and it was like, okay, we really gonna go here, huh? You don't care.
All right, let's talk about what did work, guys, because I feel like people are gonna think we didn't like this film, and we would never want to say that. Karen, give me one thing that worked for you.
The action. A lot.
Like the Transformers action or just the people running around? Like
the,
what?
The Transformers action. Okay. And shit blew up. There was tons and tons and tons. If you like to watch random people run with shit slowly blowing up behind them in the background, this is the movie for you.
Okay. Yes. I thought the action was well filmed. This is probably the best Transformers action we've gotten because, with technology and stuff, they actually slow it down. A lot of people give the first film a pass, and, it's the actual fighting between Transformers is really terrible. It's not well done. Mm-mm. They use a lot of blur effects so that your eye will be like, something's happening. I don't know what it was, but like, and so when I own all these shits on Blu-ray, and when you slow it down, you're like, oh, that's just something spinning really fast and shiny. And then it explodes and you go, oh, that must have been like a fight. It wasn't a fight. It was just special effects.
Did you feel like in Transformers 3? Because I remember watching Transformers 3 and leaving and going, well, it didn't suck as bad as 2.
Yeah.
Because 2 was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching 3 and going, I know shit's happening, but it's almost happening too fast. Like I was like, you're just like, whoa, a lot of stuff is being hit and it's big and I couldn't really tell, I couldn't see it.
Yeah. I felt that way a little bit with Transformers 3. And by the way, that still was an improvement over the action in Transformers 2 and the action in Transformers 1. Transformers 1 is just a better movie. It's just,
right.
You know, like the action didn't have to be great because it's so fucking good. By the time you get to 2, you're like, this is so shitty. That now I notice how bad the action is. And 3 was just so disjointed, but they were able to like actually put Marines in the movie that do shit. So I was like, all right, you know, these guys are gonna fly through Chicago in fucking wingsuits. That'll pass over until, you know, the next fight. But this one, man, like every fight was really like they did the slow motion, they zoomed in, they like, you know, showed the punches and all that shit and like juice leaking out of motherfuckers. Like, it made sense. So I also enjoyed the action, Karen, for the Transformers. The white impossible white man action worked for me as well, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, for the listeners who don't know, the juice was supposed to represent Transformer blood, not Transformer semen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's a Michael Bay film, so I think you did need to make that exception. Like,
yeah, it was green. Yeah.
We needed JL to actually clarify that.
It was antifreeze.
Yeah, it was some kind of antifreeze or oil. But, The white impossible white man action worked for me too, man. Like I like the idea because Mark Wahlberg's not as good an actor necessarily as Shia LaBeouf when it comes to this role. But the action, he was doing shit.
Yes.
As opposed to like Shia LaBeouf, the last two movies are literally just, all right, here's my Shia LaBeouf impersonation. Bumblebee! The whole fucking movie. Something crazy happens and then he yells Bumblebee and then starts running. And opposed to this one, it was Mark Wahlberg going, go, go, go! And then shooting something and then going, go, 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 run, go! And then shooting something else. I was cool with that.
I'm leaving for literally 10 seconds. I'll be back in a second.
Yeah, no problem.
10 seconds.
All right. But yeah, I was cool with the go, 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 run, 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 like the more like I'm going to make something happen type of action as opposed to something is happening to me. So like the action worked for me as well with just the human characters.
These country bugs in my New York City apartment.
They made their way all the way up there to you.
Yeah. Now JL, was there anything that worked for you?
Okay. What worked for me? I literally in my mind am remembering now who was the green Transformer who was kind of pissed off with the group.
Like his name, hold on, I'm going to tell you. It was something shot. Crosshairs. It was Crosshairs. That's what it was.
Okay. he had a scene which was obviously meant to get oohs and ahs from the crowd, and it did, because it was really a display of the kind of, because this was the first movie done in IMAX 3D film, which is why I saw it, because I was like, nothing makes me angrier than filmmakers who upgrade their shit for no reason other than to get more money, but they haven't actually filmed in IMAX or 3D. They just they just were like, just convert it for the extra $3 or $4. And this one, when I saw, ooh, this is like the first film filmed in this, I was sold, because I was like, you know what, the visuals, at least there's a commitment to the visuals. And he had a scene where he like jumps off of a plane or a helicopter and like does like the backflip with the guns coming out.
Yes.
And it's in slow motion. And it was as far as action scenes go this year, and I'll leave Godzilla out, even though I loved it.
Thank God.
It was almost the equivalent of that scene in X-Men Days of Future Past where the kid, what I forget his name already, but the Quicksilver or whatever, which was the best scene in that movie.
Yes.
Does that slow motion around that. That was amazing. It was like almost to that level of cool.
Yeah.
But that was, of course, 20 seconds in a 5-hour movie.
AKA why I go see Transformers movies.
And the effect, and the effects, like, the problem for me is the effects are great. Like, there's no denying that, but it's my fourth Transformers movie. So now I'm like, okay, but you need to give me, now you got to give me something to, so it's like, the special effects are like LeBron James, and the rest of the movie is like the 05 Cavs, where you're just like, everything else here sucks.
Yeah.
Except in basketball, a great player can get you 60 wins if he's as great as LeBron, whereas great effects can't get you a great movie if everything else is terrible.
Well, I'll tell you this. LeBron James has got them the tune of $301.3 million worldwide right now. So special effects are doing something for this shit piece. But I do love that scene, by the way. I also like the scene with Ken Watanabe's character Drift. And the double swords where they're just fucking up Decepticons. And like he has a scene where he like decapitates a couple of them. Then he sticks his sword through one of them, pulls it out and throws it into the other one. And, even though I know it's a, you know, cartoon kid movie, basically, part of me was like, go get your sword, man. Like, you just gonna let your fucking sword fall down there? Like, you need that. You've had two swords the whole movie. Now you only have one. I would say something that worked for me, because I have a lot of things that worked, obviously, but Kelsey Grammer, he took this shit so serious.
Yes, he did. Sure.
Did he know what movie he was in?
I don't think he did.
Why did he play this role so fucking seriously? Like,
told him, we want you to play Dick Cheney in the Dick Cheney biopic. We're thinking Oscars. So he shows up pure evil and serious and ready to just destroy all haters of America.
Yes.
They all
And then
gonna
I think
die.
They just CGI'd the rest of the movie around him. So he probably thinks he was in the story of Dick Cheney. He's like, what the hell is this?
Dude, there's a scene where he's talking to a 30-foot-tall lockdown robot. And on the top of like a floating spaceship in the Antarctic or something. And he's like literally getting like serious lines out, you know, like, and in my mind, I just kept thinking like, none of this is there. Like, this is like, as weird as it sounds, this is acting. You know what I mean? Like, this motherfucker is acting his ass off. Cause in that scene, I'm like, he's talking to a big robot, but in real life, it's just him on a fucking green screen looking up. And delivering lines, man. I couldn't believe they got him to do this, man. I feel bad for him, kind of like a joke got played on him, but whatever. Karen, anything else that worked for you?
Yes, I liked when they was on the ship, them wolves, that dude pulled out and like let free. He was like, who let the dogs out?
Yeah, yeah, robot wolves.
Yeah, yes. I liked them because they were, even though they was in there for like a short period of time,
yeah,
it was just the fact that I had a fear that I was like, if they get a hold of you, bitch, they're gonna fuck you up. I know they're not gonna get a hold of you, but if they do, they're gonna fuck you up. And I like how after Marky Mark shot they boys, they was like, oh, all y'all going down. They chewed up all the wires. I think they were black.
Yeah, I did like the wolves. Although I think they led to something JL brought up earlier, the horrible editing, because there would be scenes where she was like 40 feet in front of them. And then, like, they cut back, and then she's, like, 2 feet in front of him.
Yes.
And they cut back, and she's 40 feet in front of him. You're like, what? Like, this is impossible. The logistics of this chase do not make sense. And exactly. It did lead to her almost getting tentacle raped, which was another odd Michael Bay choice.
Yeah, I didn't know that, you know, I signed up for hentai.
Anything else that worked for you, JL?
Anything else that worked for me? Well, here's what I'll say about Michael Bay. It's just something that's always in Michael Bay movies, and I call it the hero shot.
Yes.
Which is, I love, and I remember first seeing it in The Rock. It's that he loves it, and I love it too. Because Michael Bay, he did Pain and Gain, which I thought was like a very weird movie. Because I don't know if you saw it, but it was like, it was portraying itself as like a dark comedy, and then at the end of the movie, you're like, wait, they got the death penalty? I don't think this was as funny in real life as this movie pretended the story to be. Yes. And I'm watching, he does the hero shot, and he does it for villains and good guys, but that he loves that camera on the ground and the dude coming out of the car looking like he's 30 feet tall in slow motion with the coat waving. It is awesome to look, like, I want that for me one day.
Yes.
Like, I want something to be filmed with me doing that.
Yes.
And so, I love it. Like, I like what he does visually. Like, talented visual director.
Yes, and the good guy is always looking off in the distance with a determined face.
Yes.
It's like, I'm
Nicolas
here
Cage
now.
And The Rock, I think, does it. Like, he always has it. But in this movie, like, he does it for villains, too.
Yeah.
And it's great. Although, I forgot one thing. I need to bring up one line.
No, go ahead.
The bad guy, like, his henchman, his name's, like... He's the guy we were talking about. Is his name Welliver?
Titus Welliver. Yeah.
He, Marky Mark. I laughed out loud when this happened. Marky Mark goes, "Yeah, you got a warrant?" And he says, "My face is my warrant."
Yes.
And I said, "That's the worst line of the year."
Yes, that was my favorite line of the whole goddamn movie. I'm like you. I started laughing. I was like, "Yes, I am in."
I tweeted. I said, "My face is my warrant," because it was so Michael Bay.
And is my warrant. And it was like, what?
And Titus Welliver is so good, like, because there's no hint of I guess in my mind, in every Michael Bay movie, I picture the good actors looking at the script or being told what they need to do and just kind of like rolling their eyes and being like, "Oh, are you fucking serious right now? You know, I guess it's worth the check, man. I got to pay bills." And then they're like, action. It's like, "My face is my warrant." Cut. Jesus Christ. Who the fuck wrote this shit? But yeah, I really enjoyed that line, very well. Things that worked for me, I like Lockdown as a villain. He had an actual face, and shit. So that was kind of weird. Like, why'd you need to have a face? But, I liked him, man. Like, he fucking was as disgusted with the Transformers franchise as everyone in the theater. And he just wanted all of them to die. He didn't care if they were good guys or bad guys anymore. He was like, "I'm just going to kill them and take the one cool one, Optimus Prime, out of this planet." And I said, "I agree with you, sir. Just, if you can, like, start over on Cybertron and I'll watch Transformers 5 Cybertron, I would love to do that." So yeah, he was a cool villain. That was off the hook, man. So, he also picked a very conspicuous car for camo. It was like a fucking, some nice ass ride. And I was like, if you're just there to, like, catch these motherfuckers, why wouldn't you just pick like a 1997 like Saturn or some shit?
Oh, they want something fast and quick.
He's like, "Nope, I'm gonna be a Lamborghini because fuck that shit. I'm only on Earth for a little bit." Karen, anything else at work?
Yes, I liked the whole thing with them going down the side of a building. And just
the last action scene between Wahlberg and Titus Welliver.
Yes, and they're going down the side of a building. They like saying these ridiculous lines, they kicking over air conditions, and that's a long way down, boy. Yeah. For them to break in somebody's house and him hit his ass with a football, he goes sailing to his death.
Yeah. Oh, the football as a weapon, so fucking American. Like, who would even have a football randomly in a Chinese dude's apartment in China? Like, just, so great. So, and it was a callback to an earlier scene where he hit TJ Miller in the head with a football.
Yep.
Only because TJ Miller couldn't catch. It wasn't that the throw was so, he's such a heroic thrower. It was so accurate. So, yeah, that was great.
And what I liked about that fight, gave me flashbacks because Marky Mark started eye gouging him.
Yeah.
And I had a Mountain and the Viper flashback and it disturbed me. Yeah. I got very sad and scared for a minute.
R.I.P. Yeah. Freaky Prince.
Yeah, rest in peace, Freaky Prince. You were the best of us, Oberyn. Anything else that worked for you, JL?
What else worked for me? You were right on Kelsey Grammer. He did. You know, he brought his chops to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no. Like I was just furious at this movie.
Yeah, I understood. Hey, Kelsey Grammer also tries to deliver the bad guy speech before pulling the trigger on Marky Mark for no fucking reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's like, you know why you will lose every time. You're like, what? You just went through all this shit. Shoot him. What are you doing? You're going to die. Everything is chaos around you right now. You know another thing that was bullshit? Optimus Prime delivered freedom to the Dinobots by beating their asses. Like, he was like, you will have freedom, slap. It's like, whose version of freedom is this? All right.
Optimus Prime, slave owner.
Slave owner. He was basically Master Epps. Like, it was ridiculous. He beat that dude into freedom and then rode him like a horse and let him go. I was so like, I was just clapping like, Michael Bay, you magnificent bastard. You have no understanding of history, freedom, or enslavement. You don't mm-mm. give a fuck.
Nope.
So things that are working. John Goodman was cooning it up so good.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was he thinking? Like, that motherfucker he's the only Transformer with a cigar. He had a big ass beard and he was a fat Transformer. And he was the baddest ass in the whole thing. That is so America. You know?
Oh, and that's the thing I thought about the American thing is all the bad guys were like sports cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, look at these tiny penis evil investment bankers. What a bunch of piece of shit Decepticons. Look at us and our big American trucks.
Yeah, the big American trucks were the good guys, and one of them's a fat ass with a beard. Like, it's so American. I was like, I love it. And his ad libs during the fight. I want the bonus DVD footage of just him in this booth going like, I'm a fat ballerina. What a warrior. You're like, what? he's like, I've given all that I can give at this point. Between like bites of a Chick-fil-A sandwich or something. I would pay money. Pay so much money for that shit. Highway fights work for me. Mm-hmm. Football throw. Titus Williver taking it serious for some reason was good. Explosions were ridiculous. Transformium being an element.
Yep. Wow.
Another great moment, which harkened right back to James Cameron's, what was the movie he made?
Oh, from Avatar?
Yes.
Oh my God. What was the element they had to find?
It was like unobtainium.
Oh yeah, that is what it is.
Yeah, Transformium and Unobtainium need to like coexist.
In Transformers 5, it's going to be Freedominium.
Oh man. So yeah, I enjoyed all of that shit. Karen, was there anything else that worked for you?
Yes, I loved all the Scooby-Doo bullshit they had going on. My favorite Scooby-Doo action thing was when it was on the spaceship, mm-hmm. and it's this big ass sword, and he just happened to push it, yanks!
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything pops out, and there's all these weapons. I was like, what the fuck is this?
That is Scooby-Doo. When, like, Shaggy, like, leans against, like, a fireplace, and then it, like, opens up.
Whoa, Marky Mark.
Oh, Scooby-Doo, what's this?
Yeah, that, God, Karen, that is perfect. That is exactly what it was.
That's what I liked about, to bring up, I assume you guys like District 9?
Yeah, I love District 9.
District 9 is an amazing movie, and I like the fact that, like, I like it when movies have alien technology, and you've got to spend part of the movie learning how to use it.
Yes.
Because it's alien technology, whereas in this one, it's like, just press this button, and I'll shoot them like I'm using an AK-47.
Right. I like that the other dude gave up his gun.
Right.
Apparently, a secret part of the story was that he was a coward, and we didn't know this. I don't know. They just threw that in
there. But you're a race car driver? Okay.
I guess it would be funny in that scene, and then they were like, we're done with this. But, yeah, he's like, I give up! And then he throws away his sword, and Mark Wahlberg just, like, touches him. He's like, oh, so you hit the shoot button. Okay. So that's what you should have kept your sword, buddy, and start shooting shit. Let me think. There was something else, too, that was that worked for me. Oh, I can't remember what it was. It was so much stuff that did work. Yes. It's hard to get, you know, you get lost in some of it.
I think something that really, really worked for me was for the fact that these motherfuckers, quote unquote, made themselves Transformers. And then everybody gets looks crazy when they realize they can't control it. Mm-hmm. And then when Optimus Prime is fighting one, this is one of my favorite lines. He goes, "I have no fear because I have no soul."
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
And then Stanley Tucci's like, it talked. Like, he didn't go, yeah, man, are we sure this shit isn't evil? He's just like, hey, it talked. I don't think it's supposed to do that. So come on, guys, get back on it. And like, no, that's when you abandon fucking the process, yep. Dude. It didn't work. Like, that motherfucking, Galvatron, who didn't have a long enough role, in my opinion.
Oh, he will on the next one.
Yeah, I'm sure he will in the second one, but
they're gonna be fighting on Cybertron.
Yeah, he didn't have a big enough role. And we didn't get any Starscream. The Stinger one couldn't talk. So, you know, like the Decepticons were a real letdown, but it was all made up by Lockdown. And I would say that's pretty much it for what worked, man. Other than, obviously, it's America, people, okay? Mm-hmm. This is the most American movie that has been put out this year, even over Captain America, which has America in the title. There's no movie that represents the shortcomings and the excess of America like Transformers 4. Period, hands down. I will be surprised if anything touches this for the rest of the year. This was like watching the World Cup for me because I didn't know what was going on, but I was just rooting for the best outcome for the white people involved. And that was like, so it was so powerful. Like even knowing how bad it was, I was actively like, this is terrible, but I could not stop myself from having, one of the best times I've had. The audience was laughing at the terrible choices. Like this, like they were in on the joke too. Like this is so bad. And we all had a good time, man. I walked out of there and I said, if I had another 24 hours, I'd watch it again, but I just don't have the time. But I would watch it again. It doesn't need to be this long. It should only be 2 hours max and probably less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's everything great about America. If you don't like this movie, if you think it needs to be taken down, you're part of the problem. You're a terrorist. You're against American interests. And I'm sticking with that. I don't care who you are. You're either on our side or you're on the terrorist side. Okay? We were gonna make an American army of Transformers. Where, JL? In China. That's how American this fucking movie is.
Cause that's realistic. We get all our shit from China anyway.
Oh man. Alright, let's rate this bad boy. From 0 to 5, 0 being man, fuck you, and 5 being fuck you waiting for to go see this shit. What do you give it, Karen?
Oh, I give it a 5. I love every Transformers movie. I don't care how bad it is, how shitty it is, how many flaws did it have. It is all American. And my thing is this, if you got to the fourth one and I feel like this, number one, you was in and out.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to watch and you go, I hate them all, like you didn't like none of them, the problem isn't the movie, it's you.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you like the first one, but not the last two? Like JL.
But at least you like one. I'm talking about the people that like none. Like they didn't like none of them. And then they complained about all of them. I was like, if you didn't like, if you just don't like comic book movies, mm-hmm. or you just don't like big ass robots that transform, you can't understand that whole concept.
Yeah.
It's your fault, not the movie.
On Rotten Tomatoes, critics are giving us the low teens. And audiences were like 70% last time I checked.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Like it's not a critically good movie. JL, man, what about you? 0 to 5.
Okay, well, I need to just address Karen's thing because I, for instance, saw The Amazing Spider-Man 1,
mm-hmm.
didn't really care for it, so mm-hmm. I didn't see Amazing Spider-Man 2. That was an important decision for me to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Transformers, I like Transformers 1.
Okay.
Hated 2, thought 3 was mediocre, but with the addition of Wahlberg and the new filming, you know, the 3D IMAX film, I said, okay, maybe they're recommitting to this movie to maybe kind of get back to a little closer to the first one in terms of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did not. Mm-mm. So not only I would have given this a one,
okay,
if for the fact that I felt tricked. So okay. I give it a man, fuck you, 0.
All right. Understood.
And, understood.
That is what I expected you to give it, honestly. that's why we invited you on. We want a diversity of opinion on the show, and we're not scared to mix it up.
Yeah, because okay? I already know I'm biased, so hey.
Yeah. I've been compromised. I don't give a fuck. It's big ass Transformers. I like
right.
them. I like big ass robots since I was a kid. There's no way you can make a bad big ass robot movie, in my opinion. It's impossible. And I know because I've seen them all and I like them all. So yeah, what do you want me to do? I give this shit a 5.2. Like, you should have already seen it by now. If you haven't, what are you waiting on? And if you don't like the other movies and you haven't seen this one, then I completely understand.
Yes.
But you're fucking up. You're a bad human being. You should like these movies. The movies are just made for your kid mind to be like, look at that big ass robot.
And
then titties. And then a racist joke. That's it.
And that's how I kind of go into seeing it. But like what Jay was saying, it's one of the things where, like you said, you liked it. You thought it was going to improve. They didn't. But at least you like something about the whole franchise. You have some people that don't like anything, but they constantly go and rate it. Like, I have issues with those people.
Yeah, I was glad when JL didn't go see Spider-Man 2. Like, I'm one of those people.
Yeah,
I like this first one. And I said the second one's going to be more of this shit. And if you hated it, I would like when people go, I hate that thing. I don't go, you need to go see it, bro.
No.
I'm like, no, don't go see it. Please don't. Don't waste your time or my time reading your shit and disagreeing with it. Like, yep, just go fucking skip it.
I agree. I've had some movies like that too. I go, well, I don't like this shit. Why would I go see the second
one? And for the record, we did a whole podcast and this is a little over an hour. And I want you guys to know, never disagree with one thing JL said.
Oh no.
I just don't give a fuck.
Right.
They're big ass Transformers fighting guys. All right, man. We'll be back with another edition of Spoiler Movie Review soon. Make sure you check out JL Covan's podcast, The Righteous Prick. You can also check out JLCovan.com and at JL Covan on Twitter. Very funny follow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to like call him out on some of his jokes and say that you heard him here first so that it makes our fans look like douchebags, go ahead and do that. Even if you don't follow me on Twitter, and I said the same thing about the Trayvon Martin case. Fuck it. You know, you don't need to have logic here. Just be mad. We'll be back soon, guys. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. Life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.